Welcome to Story Chats at Inspi Romance. I'm Elizabeth Madry, and I'm here with my two co-hosts.
I'm Narelle Atkins.
And I'm Valerie Comer.
And joining us tonight is Liwen Ho, a chauffeur and referee by day, aka a stay-at-home mom of two. That is a very good description. Liwen Y. Ho writes inspirational and sweet romance infused with heart, humor, and a taste of her home, her Asian roots. Thank you so much for being with us, with Liwen.
Thanks for having me.
Yay! Oh, we're excited. Oh. Before we jump into our topic, which I cannot wait for, does anybody have news that they would like to share? Narelle, do you have any news?
No, it's summer in Australia at the moment. So it's January. So January is a cruising along month where we try to relax and refresh, although I'm back at work, but that's okay.
Yep. Valerie, you have any news?
Not really. Just writing just about every day and trying to keep on top of all the many projects I've got planned for this year.
Liwen, do you have any news?
No, nothing much. Just trying to start this year off well and keep on writing as much as I can.
Excellent. I don't really either, actually. So I did release the fifth of six Hope Ranch books earlier this year. So we're winding that series up. That's my only big news. So,
cool.
All right. So then we'll just jump in, because today we're going to talk about alpha males. And I am super excited about this, because who doesn't love an alpha male, right? Except maybe, yeah.
I don't know.
Perhaps me.
But I thought we should start with defining our terms. Like, when you say alpha male, what is it that you are imagining? Because I think we probably all have our own little preconception of what this is. So, Liwen, what about you? What to you is an alpha male? Putting you on the spot. You got to go first.
I know. I got to look at my notes.
That's allowed.
Okay. I think of my husband. He and I are totally complete opposites. So I'm as beta as you can be. But for him, I think of someone who's charismatic, someone who's assertive, confident, knows what he wants, doesn't settle for just the status quo. He's a leader. He's protective.
Okay. I like it. Valerie, what about you?
I'm wondering if an alpha hero is the same thing as a type A personality.
Maybe.
Because to me, when I think of the word alpha and the way I hear about it from some of my other author friends who aren't Christians and aren't writing Christian romance, it sounds often to me like somebody who is obnoxiously confident and pushy and rude and goes like, you're going to be my woman and I'm going to get you whether you want it or not, and doesn't understand that that no is a viable word in the 21st century. What do you think, Liwen? Do you think that that alpha and type A are synonymous or not quite?
I would say you would probably need to be a type A to be an alpha. But I mean, I'm type A too, so there's different variations.
It's like the squares and the rectangles. Maybe all alphas are probably type A, but not necessarily all type A's are alphas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can go with that. Narelle, what about you? How do you define alpha male?
Definitely someone who's a leader. I think if I was reading an Australian book, I'd probably delete the rude and pushy, I think. Okay. I don't know. Maybe I associate that more with American heroes rather than Australian. I'm going to get myself into trouble. So an alpha male is, he's a man who knows what he wants and he's not afraid to chase after what he wants. The problem is, how much collateral damage will he accept, or can he justify in his head to actually achieve what his goal is? Okay. And I think going back to when I was younger, reading Mills and Boon romances back in published in the 1970s or 1980s, every second book would have been an alpha male hero. Sure. Your Greek tycoons, your sheiks, all those types of often billionaires, but not necessarily. And I think it's a cultural shift. I think now I really have to think what book is an alpha male book that I've read, because I don't think they're as popular as they used to be.
All right. So I went to the dictionary because I was trying to define it, and I was like, let's just look it up. So the dictionary would agree with you. They would say, the dictionary says, an alpha male is the leader of a pack or herd. So that's going into the animal kingdom a little bit, right? You do think of, or I do, like the gorilla movies where, you know, people go into the silverback gorilla tribes and there's the alpha who's in charge of the whole or the dominant male. And then I found a website that was clearly on the alphas are amazing and every man should be an alpha kind of push, but they said that alphas are defined by self-respect, which can come off as ego, which I would agree in my definition of an alpha that ego is definitely there. I don't necessarily say that I'd call it self-respect, but this website did. An unwillingness to ever concede defeat, so persistence, and then excellent physical fitness, strength, brains, and courage. So sort of your, you know, your Greek Adonis ideal kind of thing. So it's interesting for alpha males, because I think about it, and I was thinking about it as we were gonna, you know, prepping for this to talk about, and I think that in the context of a Christian romance novel, it's much harder to find a true alpha male because of the expected ideal of what a Christian woman is looking for doesn't necessarily align with an alpha male, or even just the ideal of what a Christian man should be. If we hold our men up to Christ, right? Jesus was a servant leader. He was not a get what he wanted at all costs. And, you know, it doesn't matter if you leave dead bodies in the wake. So that would have been a very different story if that was how Jesus was. And so I think that it's tricky as a romance writer in Christian fiction to balance the Christ-like ideal of man, who's the head of his home and a spiritual leader, without becoming a caricature who's you know, we all hear the stories of the Christian men who are dictatorial and, you know, the woman is definitely subservient, as opposed, you know, who take this idea of submitting to one another as the woman is a doormat and I am man, bring me meat kind of, you know, caricature. So that's, I think, the tricky thing to find. And I think you almost have to redefine alpha male in a Christian context, because I do read secular romance and you do still have traditional alpha males in secular romance. I haven't read, I'm going to caveat because I'm going to mention a book, and I just want you to know that I only know this from like things that I've heard and articles I've read. I have not read this book, but 50 Shades of Grey, I think you have to say, everybody would say that he is like the pristine example of an alpha male. And when I read about him, he's abusive. And I'm just like, if you are with a man who's like that, you need help to get out of that relationship. And so often I feel like alpha males in secular romance teeter on that line of abusive. And so to me, then alpha male is a very negative thing. And I don't know how you make a Christian alpha male. That's my thing.
But Lee Wynn does.
But Lee Wynn does. Yes. So that's why I'm excited that we're talking about it.
Oh, I don't know if I do. Actually, no, the thing is I write more betas, I think, because that's what I'm used to. The book I'm working on right now is featuring an alpha male. And I was thinking, well, I need to, you know, appreciate them more, especially with my husband being an alpha. So, it's interesting. So I did some. So I did some Googling too. And I came across a term that was an omega male. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have heard of that.
I have. Yeah.
Okay.
But tell us. Just because I have, everybody else has.
I didn't look too much into it, but it sounded like it was more of a well-rounded alpha with more Christ-like characteristics, you know, the caring, nurturing side as well. Yeah.
Cool. And I would say, I think that in Christian romance, probably any of your alpha males are going to be those more omega males, because again, we go back to Jesus. And you've got to be able to be willing to, you know, sacrifice for the woman that you love. Leadership for sure, but it's not selfish. It's selfless.
So, yeah, but even, I think, yeah, it depends on how strong the woman is. I think for me, for an alpha male hero to really work well in a romance, he needs to be matched by a very strong woman who is not a doormat, who will not get walked over, who's not going to put up with his abusive behaviors if he happens to have any. And sometimes I think maybe they alphas get too stereotyped as being into that more domestic violence, abusive sort of space. And maybe that's not fair to sort of do a big blanket thing to say that that could be very difficult. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, for sure.
That's why I asked about type A, because there you've got people who look at something and go, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do A, B, C to get there. And I'll have it done by Wednesday at 1:05. Right. Yeah. And that's, I can really see that far more in a Christian romance than somebody who's full of himself, I guess. Right. So there's a lot of the aspects of an alpha that can be just channeled into that workaholic, which can also then become a relationship-aholic. I don't know what the word would be, but he would take that same drive into other parts of his life and go, oh, this is what we're doing, and this is how it's going to go, and this is just how it's going to be. So get in line.
So I think if we look at the Bible, if we go back to the Bible, I would say that if we could try and travel back to King David's times, I think King David would be an alpha male.
Absolutely. Which is why we ended up with Bathsheba.
Yes. Yes. But
King David, no, but yes, absolutely. Sure.
He's a man after God's own heart. I mean, True. That's how he's remembered and described in the Bible. Yet he was just as broken as the rest of us. And it doesn't matter how closely he was walking with the Lord, he still had his weaknesses. And Bathsheba was a massive, massive weakness for him. Yeah. And so I think if we're, from my sort of where I sort of think with alpha males is I'll probably go back to someone like King David and say, well, that's probably an example. If you're going to write someone in the Christian romance world, then his characteristics and traits and all, yes, and his story would be something I'd draw on for background.
For sure. That's a really smart point. So I actually was able to come up with one book that I thought had an alpha male in CCR. Did you guys, were you able to come up with some to talk about? Yeah.
I have a
movie.
Not a book.
Okay. Excellent. I'm going to go first this time. But it's funny because it's my book, A Splash of Substance, which is the first book in my Taste of Romance series. Jackson Trent is, I believe, he's certainly the closest to an alpha that I've ever written. I think he meets the characteristics. He's absolutely knows what he wants, goes after it. Determined, pretty clear cut, doesn't spend time dithering. You know, he knows what he wants. He knows how to get it. And that's why, and Paige is, like Narelle was saying, you know, they work better with a fairly determined woman. Paige is pretty determined as well. So they're very, very much opposites attract. because they're both super determined, but about like the exact opposite of what the other thing is. So, but Jackson is athletic. He's like, he plays semi-pro football. He's just goes for what he wants constantly. Sometimes without thinking, because he's just positive he's right, because he's just that confident about how it is. So, so he's my alpha. And I find it super funny because he's book one of my absolutely worst selling series. And I think I get reviews that people hate him and they hate Paige. And I think that there isn't a whole lot of love in the Christian fiction world necessarily for those sorts of characteristics. And honestly, I can be like type A and a little outspoken. And there's no... I know that's shocking if you've been paying any attention whatsoever. But there's not often a whole lot of love just in the Christian community for people who are outspoken and confident often, because it's not perceived as being Christ-like. So that was the only one I could come up with. Luann, did you have one? What book did you come up with?
I couldn't come up with a book, okay. But I came up with a movie.
Oh, yay. Let's talk.
Yes. Okay. It's a Disney movie. Yay. So basically Beauty and the Beast.
Yes.
And I thought it was kind of interesting. In Beauty and the Beast, there's actually two alphas. So there's the Beast, of course, and then there's Gaston, who's kind of like the alpha that you don't want. So he's the jerky, you know, self-centered.
Yeah.
Doesn't listen to anybody kind of guy. And then, but I think the Beast is, even though he's really rough around the edges, well, because of his past and, you know, everything that he's been through, he's still kind of soft enough to, for Belle to kind of get through to him. So I thought that was an interesting, you know, movie where there's two kinds of alphas on display.
Interesting. Yeah.
I love that. Yeah. Actually, that's a fantastic juxtaposition of the two sort of types. Who knew there were two types of alphas? But I mean, that's good.
That's good. Yeah, but I think going back to what Narelle said earlier about the women needing to be strong, mm-hmm. I think that's a really important part of romance featuring an alpha. Basically that, well, maybe the woman doesn't have to be necessarily an in-your-face type of person, but she needs to be firm enough to know who she is. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like Belle, she was able to stand up to him, and also to kind of go against what other people thought was, you know, the right thing. It's just she basically stood up for him in the end.
Yeah.
So I think that's, yeah, the type of person that really would be able to get through to an alpha.
I love that. That's awesome. All right, Valerie, did you have one?
I did. I think that Carla Laureano is somebody who really writes a lot of alpha males. And I think I've read all of her contemporary romances. And her heroes usually tend to really aggravate me at some point. Sometimes they aggravate me for a really long time, and sometimes just at the beginning, and I can get over it more quickly. But the one that that I thought I'd mention today is Under Scottish Skies, which is the third book in her MacDonald family trilogy. Because it's one of her more recent ones that came out this summer, I think July, maybe? Mm-hmm. July, yeah. So Serena Stewart is one of the MacDonald siblings, and she moves back to the Isle of Skye to run her family's guest house. But her brothers sort of forgot to mention it to the guy they hired as the manager. So she shows up and there's guests trying to check out and there's nobody at the desk. So she sits down and, oh my goodness, what is this program? This is not the program that was here last time. She was working at the desk, and she's a bit of a programmer, so she's like trying to figure out how to get around the problem that she sees. And then the manager is there going like, who are you and what are you doing to my computer kind of thing. So he's the manager, they clash, like from that very first meeting. They distrust each other. He thinks she's there to check up on him and he's not doing anything wrong. And she's like, no, I just need to be involved because it's my family's business. And so they just don't trust each other right at the beginning. And yeah, he figures she's just spying on him. But still, he just, I don't know. Her aunt invites him for dinner because apparently she always does this. And Serena burns the rolls, the dinner rolls. I'm not really sure how you do that. I mean, set a timer, girl, right? But while others pretend that they didn't notice that she'd cut off the bottoms of all of them, he flashed her a grin. Distracted? Why are you distracted? Curse the man. He probably thought he was the distraction. Well, and he finds a rental place for her and her children, and she hates being beholden to him. And even worse, it's next door to him, the same landlady. And it says, maybe it was simply his contrary nature that liked the idea of playing hero to a woman whose worst nightmare was being a damsel in distress. Or maybe it was the notion that Serena would have to use a little more humility in their future transactions. So he bordered really, truly on obnoxious to me for quite a while. It took me a while to warm up to him at all. And this is probably a 100,000 word book. And yeah, I don't even want to talk about how far in before I'm like, would you stop being so pushy? You're the, but it worked. It does work. But yeah, there is a time when you just, it's hard to make him sympathetic, I think. Mm-hmm. So,
but did he have some kind of I'm sorry.
No, go ahead. Yes.
I just went curious. Did he have some kind of a backstory that, you know, explained why he was the way he was?
Of course there was. But I can't tell you because then I'd have to shoot you because you need to go read it yourself, right?
Okay.
I'm not going to spoil the
end. Can't give away too much. But yeah, of course, there's and sometimes, and that's the tricky part for authors is to know when to dribble in those bits, right? When the readers are starting to go, wait a minute, I don't like this guy or this girl. And you need to like know that they've got reasons and that why they're hurting and lashing out in this particular way. So.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
It's on my to-be-read list. So I like Carla's book, so I'm looking forward to reading that one.
Do you have one, Narelle?
I have a TV series, which okay. I think works with our discussion because the main character is my favourite character in the series, and he's an alpha male. So I'm talking about Suits with Harvey Specter. Mm-hmm. So I think he's very complex. He's got a very strong sense of justice and fairness. He's a lawyer, so that ruthless alpha streak is very well channeled into that type of work. And he's very judgmental as well. So he's got a real issue with people in relationships that aren't faithful and cheat. And so he's got lots of light and shade, and for whatever reason, despite the fact that he will just go after what he wants and he doesn't put up with nonsense and all the rest of it, he's very likable. So I think if you can put that into a book, then you have a winner there in terms of winning over the readers that are like, oh, is that too far, if that makes sense.
It's funny because I started trying to watch that series and disliked him so much that I just was like, next, I want something else. So he's definitely an alpha. I would agree, yes. With that. Yeah, but he was too obnoxious for me. And it's more that like my kid-free TV time is so small that I have a very small window of how long can I persevere to see whether it's going to be better?
Yeah.
And it Suits did not pass that test for me.
But I think what was clever about the setup, particularly when you go back to the beginning of Suits, is that Mike, who's the associate, he's the one that's lying about the fact that he's got a law degree. Yes. And there's Harvey in that sense has that he's done him a favor by giving him a job, which is putting him into personal danger himself because he could get debarred and all the rest of it if anyone finds out that he's given someone a job. So, but he's had a noble reason behind giving Mike a job. And I think that's where that softens the alpha, if that makes sense.
Sure.
That makes him, he's a good guy, but he does things the wrong way, but he has good intentions somewhere. And so if an alpha hero, I really want to see that if they're going to be chasing after something that's really important, that it needs to have that sort of good motivation backing it, not selfish motivations. And maybe that in a book, it can be hard sometimes if the backstory isn't set up early enough to actually have that empathy and understanding for why they are the way they are.
Lee-Win, several of the ones that I've read of yours, I thought kind of had very strong male heroes.
See, like I would consider your Spark Brothers alphas, if not alphas, they're super close. If they're not right over the top, but maybe they're not too over the top because I loved them. So they did not cross the line into obnoxious, but they're determined and like, I think your Spark Brothers would qualify. I really do.
Yeah, I probably all of them besides the second one, Brandon, because he's definitely a beta.
Yeah, not Brandon. You're right. But the others, for sure, I think totally do.
Yeah. I guess so, yes.
I thought was two of my book, The Cowboy's Reluctant Bride, and that's a Western story, and we've got the guy, Sawyer, who readers have loved to hate for the previous five books in the series. And so I had to do a little redemption there because he was very swaggering and arrogant. And so when his summer fling finds him to get him to sign their baby up for adoption, because she thinks she knows who he is and that he wouldn't want anything to do with it, he's changed. And he flips the tables on her. And I think he's pretty alpha in through that because he sees one solution. And the solution is that they get married and raise this baby together. And she's like, no way. But he manipulates the situation to where she can't say no to working for his family. And he's going to pay her medical expenses. And if at the end of this, I think it was 10 weeks I gave them, she isn't convinced, then he will sign the papers. So he's like, every second chapter, he's like, so will you marry me? No, I won't. So he was very, very persistent and possibly obnoxious at times.
I think he qualifies. I wonder if cowboy books lend themselves to alphas more than some others. And then actually I was thinking it's easy if you tip into romantic suspense. Then you've got alphas coming out of your ears, right? Because you've got Navy SEALs and you've got FBI and you've got all your, like any of your law enforcement and military. I mean, I think if you're writing those people, the challenge is to make them not alphas. Because I think by virtue of the job that they've taken on, they have to have a lot of those alpha characteristics just to want to do that.
Right. Just making snap decisions and knowing they're right and moving forward all the time. Yeah.
And so in romantic suspense, I think you do see it. You do see alphas much more frequently there. That's as I was going through, I'm like, when I was looking for books, I'm like, oh, nope, that's romantic suspense. It's not just straight CCR. I was like, no, that's romantic suspense too.
Yeah, I do have romantic suspense. I was thinking about mentioning it, but then of course it's suspense. So
yeah,
but that one's has a bodyguard. Yeah.
And again, yeah, they've got to be definitely more alpha trending if nothing else to do that sort of thing. So that works.
But do you guys feel like it's kind of tied to the career maybe, or the position in society?
It can be, hey, because those types of careers attract a certain personality too.
Well, and not just like maybe someone might decide they want to have that career, but they just find that they're not able to mentally keep up with it if they don't have that, those traits. Like, I mean, if you really are conflict avoidant, being a cop is going to be a very mentally taxing job for you, because your whole life now, your work life, is going contrary to what your natural inclinations are.
And you're going to get ulcers.
You either would have to learn to become that sort of person, or you would wash out of that sort of job, I think.
Yeah. But I mean, if you think about Indiana Jones, for example, like all those types of movies, the swashbuckling heroes, they're pretty much always alphas. But alpha heroes, I think, are good for authors because they do stuff. You don't have passive characters. An alpha's not just going to sit there and and should I do this, should I do that? No, they're there. They're doing it before you can stop them. So I think alpha heroes make for really exciting stories. Precisely because they take action, they don't sit around umming and ahhing, and yes, and they're not boring. They're unpredictable as well. Often they'll do something that's completely out of the box and try something different because they often aren't afraid to fail. And because they don't have that fear of failure, they have this innate belief that they will succeed, then I think that actually makes for exciting stories. Yeah. So I'd like to see more Christian romance with alpha heroes. That I suppose they probably need to have that softening around the edges compared to what you might read in the general market. And also, I think there's a humbling process for an alpha hero as well, because they've got Jesus in their lives. And so it's not just all about what they want as well. They've also got to think about a lot of other, like what does God want? What's God's will for their life? There's a whole lot of spiritual questions that come into it as well. That make life very interesting. So there's lots of scope to explore that.
I think this will really make Valerie cry, because now I'm going to go historical, but I mean, if you want a quintessential plot for like a roadmap for an alpha, just take Darcy, right? I mean, Mr. Darcy is totally the progression of an alpha, from obnoxious and horrible to swoony and everybody wants him, except Valerie, because he's Regency. So, but you know, you do see that. And so they're definitely, you can have an alpha who's not obnoxious, or you at least can make him regret his obnoxiousness.
I was thinking too that a good storyline or backstory with an alpha hero would be somebody who comes into the story still that way, but meets Jesus part way in, and the contrast and the battle within him as he tries to adjust to his new belief system could be very interesting. I wonder where I can tuck a guy like that in.
I think there would be a lot more life lessons for an alpha, and spiritual lessons, you know, in terms of, because he's gone so high, so he could fall even more if when things don't go his way, and then he would need to reach out. Valerie's
excited. That'd be fun.
Yeah, then he would really need to reach out for God's help even more in those situations, and maybe the woman could, you know, really come alongside and help him out with that. Yeah.
And I think you can have a lot of fun, because an alpha is not going to naturally be willing to want help. So that's fun too.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of scope for some good conflict in there.
Yeah. And their luck will run out. There's only so many times you can do something and it succeeds. You're going to fail at some point in time. And so one of the real crisis point, I think, for an alpha hero is when they've had their heart set on doing something, they've thrown 100% into it, they've worked really hard, they've done all the right things, and then it doesn't work. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's a lot of humbling moments that you can sort of draw on as well with the alpha hero, particularly within a spiritual story arc, but their character development as well. So I think it's an underexplored area in Christian romance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So we need to all go write alphas now. Luann's already on it. So yes. That's good. Yay. And when will this book be out?
It's going to be out in a anthology, actually, in September.
Yay. Okay. Well, yeah. I'll be excited about that. See how you did.
Okay.
Excellent. Any final alpha thoughts? We're a little bit over. No? Okay.
All good.
Then this has been a really good conversation. This has been fun. So thank you, Liwen, for joining us and for hanging out with us and for suggesting alphas in the first place, because that was totally your topic idea and I love it. Tell us where we can find you and your books.
You can find me on Amazon. My Amazon is amazon.com/author/Liwen Ho. Okay. I'm actually getting my website revamped. So, or you can also find me on Facebook, facebook.com/author Liwen Ho.
Awesome. And it's Liwenho.
H-O.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Just that way, you know, if you're trying to figure out how to spell Liwen,
that's
how. Fabulous. We hope that you will come back and do this again. Find another fabulous topic.
Since I survived this time. Yes.
Yeah.
I might.
Excellent.
We weren't so bad, were we?
No.
We didn't.
No, it was great. No, it was fun.
All right. So thank you guys all for joining us at Story Chats. If you're watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe and hit the little bell so that you never miss an episode. And we hope that you will join us again next week. You can find everything you need to know about us at inspiromance.com/storychats or storychats.podbean.com. And so we'll see you next week. And meanwhile, don't forget to fall in love with a good book. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.